Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. And a very special welcome to our guest in the studio, Mr. Alistair Kennedy, the British Legion Man. At this time of the year, there are lots of remembrance parades and services at war memorials and in churches and all over the country and in countries all over the world. One thing which unites the whole human race is grief and remembrance. Here in Saltcoats, we had our town's act of remembrance at the war memorial as usual, and as always, the Master of Ceremonies was a very well-known character, Alistair Kennedy, Chairman of the Saltcoats branch of the Royal British Legion. He's been organising these parades forever, well, it seems forever, and since this was his very last remembrance parade, I thought you might like to hear from Alistair himself. He's an amazing man with a remarkable life story. So, welcome, Alistair. Thanks for coming to the studio.
Thank you very much, Alec.
And is it really your last remembrance parade?
Yes, it definitely is. One has to go at a certain time in life, and it's my time to go. I've done my duty. We've got the community together, and I just hope it keeps carrying on.
Yeah. So how do you feel about that? Has the penny dropped yourself?
No, I'm afraid it's still, I'll be casting my eye from Millport next year. My heart will be here in Saltcoats.
Yeah. How did you feel it went on Sunday there?
Well, weather-wise, it beat us once again, but the feeling was still there from the people. We were all there to remember, and we did so, and it's a great thing to get everyone together, and that's what it means everything to us.
There was quite a big turnout considering the weather, I felt, and it seemed to go well sense.
It really did go well, and it's just that the wind was destroying my speech. As I've reading it out, it was remarked to me that Alice said, "You seem to hesitate a wee bit." I said, "Well, as I was reading out my farewell speech, it was actually disappearing in front of me with the wind and rain, but we managed to bluff it out and carry on as ever."
One of the reasons I invited you to come today was to allow you to do your wee farewell speech in another way. So this is your kind of swan song.
Yes.
Long have you been organising these parades?
Well, I returned from Leeds in 1998, came back from 10 years in Leeds, and I rejoined the Legion. I joined it the week I came out of the Army in 1983, but I had to go away to the Falklands and what have you for 18 months, came back, rejoined the Legion, carried on with that. But then, due to a lack of any work, I had to go south, and I was down there for 10 years. But the moment I came back, I rejoined the Legion. It wasn't a very good nick. There wasn't many members. I said, right, we can do better than this. And I looked at the books that were gathering in £500 per annum for the Poppy Fund. And I said, I'm sure we could do better than this. And we have done. We got organised. He was known as the convener of the council. I went along and saw Councillor Sam Taylor, and I said, "Sam, I'm hoping to reform the Legion," and he took it with both hands and said, I'll give you... He actually said to me, what would you like, Alistair? I said, well, I'd like a parade and I would like a free buffet in a place from you. And he did everything for us. He helped us in every way. And it was a great start. We got Legion members from all over Scotland came to start it all off. And we went from strength to strength.
And on Sunday there, it was, I don't know, hundreds of people?
Oh, there was certainly 400 or 500 there. Mm. It was bigger last year, but I think the weather put some people off, but it was a great turnout.
So, Alistair, why are you so passionate about remembrance parades and being so involved with the British Legion?
Well, it's in me, and from my days of service, that I lost 24 of my pals during my 24-year service all over the world, and I lost my own father during World War II in 14th of May 1943, so that changed my life, and I just cannot feel we have to carry on the remembrance. I've been over to Flanders to see the World War I field's remembrance, and it just leaves you with a mark on your mind.
Yes. I should say that for anybody local, when we think British Legion, we think Alistair Kennedy. So tell us a wee bit about yourself, Alistair. How did you start off? Where were you born?
Well, I was born in Millport in 1939. Some people actually say the war started because I was born, but not quite true.
It wasn't your fault.
No, it wasn't my fault. It wasn't me. My father had three other brothers. And when the war came along in late 39, they all signed on for the forces. My dad, the only one that he chose to go to the Royal Navy, he was away doing his training. He came back up to Scotland to be posted, and they were getting sent out to North Africa, to Tunisia. He was called out to go to his convoy, and the ship actually stopped opposite Millport when the convoy was being made up. He managed to get ashore the one evening it was opposite Millport, and he got to see my mum, my big brother, big sister and I. And he got back on board the ship and sailed off to North Africa. And when he got to Tunisia, they got their motor launches and motor torpedo boats, and they were given a target to go into Bizerta Harbour in Tunisia on the 14th of May. They said the harbour had been cleared, but it wasn't.
And when cleared of mines.
It cleared of mines. Mm-hmm. And they said that definitely had been cleared. They went in at full speed. Unfortunately, the big Hornet mines were all underwater and every one of them were killed. 2 days later, my mother got the wee boy coming along on the bicycle from the post office with a telegram. Sorry to tell you, you've lost your husband. So, and that was replicated thousands upon thousands of times.
Yes.
During the war. So it certainly changed my life.
Yeah. Your mum and dad are interesting characters. Like, you were in Millport and you must have had a very nice upbringing given your dad's job with the lemonade factory.
Yes, we had a wee lemonade factory called Fintry Bay, and it's still there. The building's gone. We had our own lemonade factory and cafe, and everybody, worldwide visitors came to Kennedy's of Fintry Bay. It was really a child's paradise.
And your mum was quite musical.
Yes, and my mum, she was actually to be put on television in 1936, as early as that. She was a gold medal pianist and a gold medal singer at the Mods. But sadly, it came to an end. She took a very, very bad cold, and she never got the power back in the voice, so she had to give that up. But my mum at the piano could play anything from Bach to Boogie. It was wonderful to hear.
So you left Millport, you went to school in Paisley, and then when you left school, you went off to England for some reason.
Yes, I was down working with a trainee fireman. I'd done all sorts of jobs. I was an apprentice baker, but I landed up down in England. I was going to be working for the army, but I decided to go back into the army. And I joined back up in 1961, and I served till 1983.
And what regiment are we talking?
There only was one regiment for me, and that was the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders, the 1st Battalion.
And you served for 24 years,
yes.
1961 to 85,
yep.
To the rank of sergeant. Can you tell us a bit about those war years then?
Yes, we were very much an active battalion. We did 3 6-month tours out in Borneo, 64, 65, 66. And in between, we're also back up Malaya, retraining, and there were some Indonesian paratroopers come in. We had to go up and chase them. We then come back to the UK, posted to Plymouth, and we were hit with Aden. And at that time, we were commanded by Colonel Mad Mitch.
Why was he called Mad Mitch?
Well, I think the Mad Mitch actually came through. It was the press that gave him that name. He was one of the finest soldiers that was ever in the British Army, and we would have followed him anywhere. He was a terrific commanding officer, and the action we took in going into Crater, we took this town inside a volcano in Aden, and it was really a stormy, bloody time, but most of us came back.
And then you were in Northern Ireland.
Yes, many times in Northern Ireland. It was we lost 6 or 7 of our first tour, early 70s, and we were back and forth between, we were based at Kirk Newton, and we used to get pulled back many times, or then we were over to Germany, and then we had to come back over to do many tours.
Of the different places you were, which would you say was the most dangerous for you?
Well, I really didn't like being in the Ulu or the jungle. But Aden was without doubt the worst. It was a real bloody time.
Well, we'll speak more in a minute, but I've asked Alistair to pick the music for this programme. When I invited him to do so, the very first song he picked straight away was Catherine Jenkins, I Vow to Thee My Country.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Holy Half Hour on 3TFM, where we're interviewing Alistair Kennedy, the British Legion man. One very important aspect of your army career, Alistair, was your Royal Guard duties. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, I was lucky enough to be picked to go to up to Ballater, where there's a miniature barracks that was built in Queen Victoria times, and over 100 of you got to do the royal duties. That was 1962, 1963, and my final one was 1970. You got to do all sorts of jobs, looking after the royal family in close proximity to them. It could be, you could be out on the hill beating for grouse for them, and it was you got issued a white stick and a wee white flag, and you went along and beat the heather, and these things would fly, and whoever was in the shooting party would bring them down. You would then take Her Majesty to the church every Sunday, from the castle right up to Crathy Church, and sit there behind her and take part in the service. You could be out doing what they call a quarter guard. Wherever she went, she was always provided with a guard of honour. And during that 3 months, every soldier was given a personal invite to what they call the Gillies Ball in Balmoral Castle. I got my invite, and I went along all in number one dress, and I've never been so well treated in all my life. When we were ushered into the hall, there was a professional band in the Minstrels Gallery, and we're all guarded, the music was going, people were dancing, and at 10 o'clock in the evening, the major domo thumped the floor with the big major domo stick, and everybody had to turn round, and he announced that the royal family were coming from the royal apartments. We all had to turn round and bow. The ladies curtsied, and the royal family came down a double-sided staircase with a pipe major playing. They went into the alcove where the family sat. The major domo thumped the floor and said, "Carry on with the dancing." But he would then come forward to a soldier who was a royal party member, had said, "I'll dance with that soldier." My luck, I got to dance with one of Her Majesty's lady-in-waiting. She was called Lady Susan Hussey. She was absolutely wonderful to dance with and talk to, just like speak to one of us. The dance finished, we were then made to go onto the floor, and it was a Paul Jones. The men go in one circle, the ladies go in another circle, and they move around the floor to the music. And when it stops, you get to dance with the lady opposite you. And the lady opposite me was Princess Alexandra. Now, this was 1963. I was about to get married. She was about to get married. And I was going to ask her, she should not dump the man she was going to marry and have me, but I didn't have the courage to do that. But she was absolutely utterly charming.
Alistair, you've got lots of stories about royal family, but would you like to tell my favourite one, I think, when the Queen gave you a wee lesson?
Yes, we were allowed to fish on the River Dee, and we were quite a bit away from the castle, and we were always told that should any royal family, we had to behave ourselves. We were trying to catch a fish, and we looked along, and here was Her Majesty coming with a headscarf on and the wellies. So we all had to leap up and say, "Good morning, Your Majesty," and then "Ma'am." And she said, what are we doing? So I said, "Try to catch one, Ma'am." And she looked at us and she said, "May I show you?" So she took it from us, and she cast the rod, and she said, "This is how we cast." So I then got the rod back, and damn me, gently, I actually caught one. And Her Majesty said, "You may take the fish back to the officer's mess." So I took the fish back to the officer's mess, and they had it for their dinner. But it was just how relaxed she was amongst her soldiers, and it was just absolutely brilliant. And later on, it was after that we got the dance, and every soldier thoroughly enjoyed themselves. But when the royal party left, the major domo dumped the floor again, and we were then invited to go to the buffet and also free drink, and I have never seen so much whiskey in all my life. It was all laid on for you for no pennies.
So Alistair, you mixed with the royalty, and but you didn't get to marry any of them.
No.
Instead, your heart was moved by Betty. Tell us a wee bit about Betty.
Betty, I saw her in the co-op window in Paisley when I was home from Germany. I pretended I went in to get purchase a loaf, pretended I didn't know my co-op number and my mum's co-op number. But when I went back home, I said, right, get that wee girl to write to me in Germany. We did. We wrote away for 6 months. I came back. We got engaged 9 months later in 63, Burns Night. We got married in Paisley in 1963.
And then sadly she passed away.
Yes, back here in 2007. That was hard.
It was on your wedding anniversary itself.
Indeed, our 44th wedding anniversary. That was a loss of within 24 hours. It was a hard time.
Yeah. So your next piece of music... you've chosen because it's your song, you and Betty's song.
It's John Denver, absolutely love it. And it's When I'm Persuaded, it's the only song I ever sing. Some people say badly, but I absolutely love Annie's song by John Denver.
You fill up my senses like a night in a forest, like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses. Come fill me again. Come let me love you. Let me give my life to you. Let me drown in your laughter. Let me die in your arms. Let me lay down beside. Let me always be with you. Come, let me love you. Come, love me.
Alistair, you came out of the army after 24 years and all these Royal Guard duties. It must have been hard to adjust to civvy life.
Well, it really was. When I came back to the towns, it was really quite something. And I walked the streets for 6 months every day, applied for over certainly 200 jobs, and 98% of them even got a reply from them, so I took it really hard. And unfortunately, I saw an advert in the paper. They were looking for workers to go down to the Falklands to look after the workforce who are going to build Mount Pleasant Airfield. And I was unlucky enough to be picked. So I landed down there after 14 days horrendous sailing from Cape Town down to the Falklands. They didn't need a hooter on the boat. Alice was hanging over the side for the 14 days, not a happy bear. I lasted 18 months. It was, you can now go down there 19 and a half hours. Where I had to take you off the plane blindfolded, take you down the steps, turn you around three times, take the blindfold off and say, where are you? You would look and you would swear you were standing on Arran or on the western side of Scotland. It was exactly like that, except upside down weather.
And your next piece of music reflects the Falklands in some way?
Yes, the big hit down there, I was down there from December 83 to April 85, and the biggest hit down there was Stevie Wonder, I Just Called to Say I Love You. It was played constantly on the radio service called FIBS, Falkland Islands Broadcasting Service.
No New Year's Day to celebrate. No chocolate covered candy hearts to give away. No first of spring. No song to sing. In fact, here's just no April rain, no flowers bloom, no wedding Saturday within the month of June. But what it is something true, made up of these three words. I just called to say I love you. I just called to say how much I care. I just called to say I love you. And I mean it from the bottom. No summer's high, no warm July, no harvest moon to light one tender August night, no autumn breeze, no falling leaves, not even time. No Libra sun, no Halloween, no giving thanks to all the Christmas joy you bring. But what it is, though oh so new, to fill your heart.
Say how much I care.
So, Alistair Kennedy, you come back from the Falklands, and what happens next?
Well, I walked the streets for 2 years, couldn't get a job for love nor money. I found out an up-and-coming job down in England. I was going to apply to be a butler, which I did do, and I was successful. I beat 16 other couples to get this job.
When you say a butler, you mean like upstairs, downstairs?
Yeah, I was a bit more involved than that. It was to run an Edwardian mansion, and this is where the home for the High Court judges that came from the Royal Courts of Justice in London up to Leeds for the assizes, and it was a 24/7 job. I had myself as butler, Betty was the housekeeper, I had a chef, I had 7 cleaners and 3 chauffeurs. As I say, it was a 24/7 a week job, but very much swinged and roundabouts. It was absolutely wonderful.
It's amazing to think you're a soldier 1 minute, and then you're down constructing an airport in the Falklands another, and then you become this butler figure. Massive leaps.
Well, I had ran 2 residencies, one in Germany and one in York for my general. He was a general officer commanding North East District, and that gave me a great start to it. And it was a big help that he gave me a great reference, and he was, at that time, the Governor of Windsor Castle. So it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Right, and you obviously have known helped. Quite a few who to knows.
Indeed.
You do this butler business, and a lot of it is confidential, so
yes,
you don't want to say too much, I appreciate. So the next thing is you come back to Scotland, to Stevenston.
Yes.
To look after your mum, was it?
No, my wife Betty, she had taken ill, she had 3 discs removed from her spine, so she had to come back, so we come back and looked after her.
And it's at this point that you get involved with the British Legion, yes, as you were saying at the beginning.
I rejoined the Legion in 98, and that's when we started to, when we got things off the ground, we had our parade, and we started getting involved with the community. We always do the float for the Saltcoats Queen of the Sea. We always support the Druss and Highland Games.
And you were the chieftain in 2012.
Yes, they gave me that honour from my work in the Legion. I was absolutely proud to do that. It was a great day for the Legion, and we gave them the finest parade they ever had, probably ever will have, but we're pleased to do it for them. And I've done over 200 school visits with my great friends, Jim Wilson, my cycling command, and Vic Lees with his wee dog Hamish, the famous Hamish. He's even more famous than we are, and Richard Holmes. We go around the schools, and the children are all, and P7s are all doing, studying World War I, and Vic, he gets us all the uniforms, helmets, what have you, and we do P7 classes, and we managed to get this year's the winning school from Irvine. They won the outright prize, and they were taken through to Edinburgh by limousines, looked after. They had dinner up with the officers, the VIPs, and then they were put up into the royal box as a major prize, so we're really proud of that.
Yeah.
But the children take the World War I very seriously.
And you may be too modest to say this, but over your 17 years, you've raised nearly quarter of a million?
£240,000. Hopefully this year we could just round it off to the quarter million. But it's
this is for the poppy appeal.
For the poppy appeal. We've done that, and I'm also standing down from that. But I feel I've done enough. But we're really proud of what the people of Esclebride, they give me their money, and the people treat it. It's what you gave us, not what we gave you.
And for all the work that you've done, the British Legion has honoured you for your services, I understand?
Yes, they made me a life member. That means I don't have to pay my £14 a year, but I was at National Conference, I was awarded a certificate for my service in the Royal British Legion of Scotland.
Just on the British Legion, understand anybody can join it.
Yes,
it's not just ex-soldiers.
We've changed the rules. Anybody, man or woman, can come along and join us. And the only thing we ask that they observe the rules of the Royal British Legion Scotland. We work within their perimeters. But we have a sports side, we have a social side, as well as the parade and raising money.
So Alistair, if all that was not enough, you find time and energy to be chairman of the Three Towns Carers Group, and you're a member of Livingston Parish Church in Stevenston.
Well, the Livingston Parish Church, that's where I've got my colours hanging up, and I'm really proud to be in there. It's we have a marked presence in there.
Yeah.
And the Three Towns Carers is really dear to my heart. We're a very active group. There's only about 12, 13 of us in it, but we do try to take care of, I was a carer myself, so it's really dear to our hearts, and we're very, very active.
Yeah. Well, Alistair, our holy half hour is up, I'm afraid. It's been a real pleasure and an honour to interview you today and to work with you on the Remembrance Day parades. And on behalf of everyone who's worked with you over the years, may I say a very sincere thank you for all that you've done and for all that you mean to us. May God bless you, and may you enjoy a well-earned retirement.
Thank you very much, and God bless.
And now, to play us out, can you just explain why you've picked this piece?
Aye, the pipe band music is the Black Bear, and all Scottish regiments, on when you're marching off a parade or going home, they play the Black Bear. The Black Bear is Return to Barracks, and I'm returning.
It's also the closing of the Edinburgh Tattoo each
tattoo,
night.
That's the final tune you hear is always the Black Bear, Return to Barracks.
So it's very appropriate. Let's play the Black Bear.